It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Can the government get small banks lending to small business?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama heads to Nashua, New Hampshire today, pitching a plan to boost small business. And here it is. The president wants to give $30 billion in repaid bank bailout money to community banks. Marketplace's Amy Scott is here live. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
So helping small banks help small business. How's that going to work?
The president wants to set up a small business lending fund, which would apply to about 8,000 small and community banks. Banks that use the money to increase lending to small businesses would pay lower taxes. And I spoke about this earlier with Lynn Tilton, who runs a private equity fund that invests in small and mid-sized businesses. She is in favor of using the repaid bailout money to help these businesses, but says, you know, the kinds of companies that need loans are risky, and banks right now are under a lot of pressure to reduce their risk.
Giving money to community banks that are already sitting on problem loans and problem balance sheets and then asking them to go up against regulators to make high-risk loans is not going to accomplish the goal.
Fair enough, Amy. Then what would accomplish that goal?
Well, Tilton pitched her own plan to the White House, which would encourage private investors to help fund small businesses. But the lending program is just part of the president's plan. He's also pushing tax cuts for companies that create jobs or increase wages, as well as higher limits for loans given through the Small Business Administration. And the idea here is, you know, if you help small businesses, you help create jobs.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.
In other news, the National Association of Realtors reports this morning that after plunging in November, pending home sales rose a tiny bit in December. The S&P 500 is up a significant bit, 0.75%. The NASDAQ is almost 0.5% higher, and the Dow's up 67 points. It's at 10,252. Major European markets gained 1% today. Most Asian markets were lower. Technically, the recession may be over, but the people working at a lot of local courthouses are not feeling that. You've got a surge of recession-related cases. You got state budgets in the red. All that is forcing local court systems to the breaking point. Reporter Jay Field has that.
The mortgage crisis has hit the Chicago suburbs especially hard over the past year. In Lake County, north of the city, a surge of mortgage defaults has doubled foreclosures in some middle and upper middle class communities. As a result, Associate Judge Mitchell Hoffman with the 19th Illinois Circuit Court in Waukegan ended up with scores of additional cases.
All the foreclosure cases would come into courtroom 302 on Wednesday mornings.
But before too long, Judge Hoffman found he couldn't handle them all by himself.
And we would have to have two or three other judges pitch in with the call and send cases down to every courtroom on this hallway.
We're talking hundreds of people every Wednesday morning crowded into this small hallway. So court officials began sending all undisputed foreclosure cases to a smaller traffic court nearby. Daniel Hall with the National Center for State Courts says the scene has been repeated in courtrooms across the country as the recession claims victims on a broad scale.
Not only did you have the foreclosure cases, but you have contract disputes that have gone up 37%. You've got assaults in family cases that are rising in states like New York. And so you have a cumulative impact of these kind of cases flooding the courts, you know, at the same time when budgets are being cut.
In Illinois, officials are struggling with a growing stack of unpaid bills and a deficit projected to top $11 billion this year. State courts face a $21 million budget cut. Next door, in Iowa, that state's chief justice warned of assembly line justice, where cases could get short shrift.
The big risk is that you're going to have people losing their homes
who might otherwise have been able to keep them. Some states are trying to consolidate and restructure their court systems, But no amount of restructuring is likely to spare more homeowners and lots of other people already in pain from more. In Waukegan, Illinois, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
My wife and I are all set to watch ABC tonight. It's the premiere of the final season of Lost. And if you're not familiar, think Dostoevsky meets Gilligan's Island. A bunch of castaways trying to get home, but it's also complicated, hard to follow, not your typical blockbuster TV. So why has Lost succeeded? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
Instead of dumbing down the show to reach the masses, Lost borrowed from cable TV's business model and cultivated a small but devoted audience. Joe Adalian is TV editor for TheWrap.com, which covers the entertainment industry. He commends ABC for setting an end date for the show.
Too often TV shows sort of linger on well past their actual expiration date, and the product quality definitely declines. Fans sort of get disinterested.
The series will end in a few months, but Adalian expects network suits will milk it for years.
ABC and its owner Disney sort of see Lost as a much bigger property. I think they see it as a long-term franchise, not unlike, say, Star Wars or Star Trek, that can live on for 20 or 30 years.
Not everyone wants a sequel. Fan Ryan Ozawa likes the finality of the series.
It's going to be one great package, an epic, basically, that we can study like the Iliad for the rest of our lives.
For fans who don't like to study, there's also talk of turning Lost into an amusement park ride. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And one more thing about that show. According to Hollywood Reporter, the first hour of tonight's episode has leaked online and fans are refusing to watch it. That's the opposite of the usual reaction, but a typical online comment is, "I'd rather see Lost on high-def TV than watch some crummy video and ruin the surprise." Oh, will it all be a big waste of time? This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.